Welcome to How Stuff Works Now. I'm your host, Lauren Vogelbaum, a researcher and writer here at How Stuff Works. Every week, I'm bringing you three stories from our team about the weird and wondrous developments we've seen in science, technology, and culture. This week, there's a new polymer that can stretch like a rubber band, supporting 1,000 times its own mass, and hold that shape until warmed. Plus, unrelated, there's a black market for avocados in New Zealand, and this is far from the first time that this has happened. But first, senior writer Robert Lamb brings us a potential memory-boosting brain hack, one that doesn't even involve experimental pills or neural implants. The key is apparently cardio.
Dutch researchers at Radboud University Medical Center conducted a 72-person study on exercise and memory consolidation. Specifically, we're talking aerobic exercise such as running and, of all the different forms of human memory, declarative or explicit memory, a form of long-term memory that relates to facts and verbal knowledge. They split the subjects into three groups, and each began the experiment with a 40-minute learning session, during which they absorbed 90 picture location associations. Afterwards, they all took a baseline memory test on the material. One group immediately launched into a 35-minute spin class, and another waited 4 hours before hitting the stationary bikes as well. The third group just sat on their keisters. Then, 48 hours later, the researchers called everyone back in, tested their knowledge retention, and analyzed their brains with a little MRI. Those who exercised 4 hours after learning showed a marked advantage on the second memory test. The study, published in the journal Current Biology, stresses that there's much we don't know here. We don't know why or how delayed exercise impacts memory consolidation, and indeed, the molecular mechanisms of consolidation are poorly understood. And 4 hours is just an experimental time frame. The exact effective time frame for the delayed exercise boost is unknown. Plus, again, we're talking about just one of several memory types here. While this study focused on declarative memory tasks, a handful of previous studies observed an immediate post-exercise boost in procedural memory tasks. If future studies support these findings, we might gain new insight into the benefits of physical education classes. But if nothing else, these findings get to drive home the fact that the human brain is not a digital computer, and memory is not a comprehensive file of inputted data. The brain is a hypercomputer. Memories are malleable, and new information must be consolidated via a neurochemical process.
Next up, senior writer Jonathan Strickland has a material science story for us. After all, why use engines to do work like pulling weight when you can just apply gentle heat to a polymer?
A research team at the University of Rochester has created an interesting new polymer. Oh, and just in case you've forgotten, a polymer is a long-chain molecule consisting of repeated smaller molecules. The one you're probably the most familiar with is plastic. The team built a polymer that is elastic, which means it can change shape. But unlike a rubber band, which snaps back to its original shape once you let go of it, this polymer holds the new shape. That is, until you heat it up. When the polymer warms to around human body heat temperatures, it returns to its original shape. It can also lift 1,000 times its own mass, meaning this polymer can do work. Imagine stretching out a large amount of polymer over a pulley and down to a weight. Then you apply heat to the polymer. The material will contract back to its original shape, lifting the weight for you, no engine required. So what's going on here? Well, when the polymer gets stretched, the smaller molecules in the chain begin to form crystallites. That's another way of saying they become stable in a new arrangement. That's why the polymer stays stretched out even when you let it go. Applying heat essentially breaks up the party, melting the crystallites in the polymer. The whole thing contracts back to its original form. The concept of a shape-changing polymer isn't new. It's also the basis of a technology called 4D printing, which relies on water absorption instead of heat to trigger the change. But the Rochester team's polymer opens up new possibilities. The team's primary focus is on the biomedical field. A wound dressing that can apply pressure once it warms up to body temperature is a typical example. But perhaps we'll see non-medical uses of this material further down the road. Imagine a pair of jeans that are loose when you put them on, but then get snug as they heat up. My butt would look great in those.
Finally, Finally, this week, I explain how in New Zealand, avocados have joined the rank of all of the illicit, illegal, and stolen goods available on the black market. Avocado crime isn't all that uncommon. You could say the fruit has a seedy history. Yeah? Nah? Here's a story. There's a crime wave in New Zealand, and its target is avocados. About 40 large-scale thefts have been reported by farmers, with up to 350 avocados stolen each time, according to Radio New Zealand. The illegitimate fruit is being sold locally at roadside stalls and through grocery stores and restaurants at slightly less than the market price, which has doubled over the past few months. In neighboring Australia, there were reports of the fruit selling for $7 a piece earlier this year. That's about $5 American. To prevent break-ins, Brisbane grocers began posting signs. Please note, no cash or avocados are kept on premises overnight. How did we get here? As a society, what drives this kind of black market activity? As with any economic issue, it's supply versus demand. In this case, weather conditions led to a poor crop right after a boom in demand. In 2015, an additional 96,000 New Zealand households began buying the fruit, according to a growers association called New Zealand Avocado. Desperate times lead to opportunistic measures. And all of this is small potatoes compared to what happened in California in the late 1980s. After three winters of freezes cut crops short, petty thievery gave way to professional-level heists. Organized crime rings stole $10 million worth of fruit in a single year, about 5 to 10% of the California industry at the time. The state hired full-time avocado cops who, in their first year of operations alone, uncovered 283,000 pounds of illicit fruit being sold on the black market. The takeaway here is that it's up to us as consumers to be wary. If a deal seems too good to be true, it probably is. A bit of good news, though. So far, the thefts in New Zealand have amounted to only a couple thousand avocados out of the 25 million that may be sold this season. And new crops should stabilize the market over the next few weeks. That's our show for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Subscribe now for more of the latest and strangest science news. And send us links to anything you'd like to hear us cover in the future. Plus, any suggestions you have for food-related nonfiction. Yes. Shoot us an email at nowpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And to access thousands of other stories like these, check out our home planet, now.howstuffworks.com.